Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dana O'Neill in a moment. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. The Diamondbacks are winning late. They have their reliever, Archie Bradley, in the game. He's 1-for-4 at the plate on the season as Adam Amin picks up the call.
2-2, two outs in the seventh. The pitch. Fly ball well hit. Left center field. Back towards the wall. It is to the bottom of the wall. Lamb scores. Descalso scores. Bradley to third. A 2-run triple for Archie Bradley.
An unreal moment. Then he gives up back-to-back homers in the top of the eighth inning. The Diamondbacks finally won it. They'll get the Dodgers game one tomorrow night at 10:30 at Dodger Stadium. One of the many reporters out there I have tremendous respect for is the outstanding Dana O'Neill. Dana, welcome. It is great to have you back on the show. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
I want to before we get to the basketball part of it, this is something you have had to live with your entire career. I know Jordan Rodriguez because she was at the Center Daily Times and did great work here when she was here, doing great work at the Charlotte Observer. Where's the lack of respect coming from because you have to live it all the time yourself?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, every time I think that we've evolved past the, you know, the knuckle-dragging Neanderthals of the world, they seem to just come back and surprise me every once in a while. There's still a few left, I guess. I'm not sure, you know, what else people have to do. It's to the point now, everyone knows it's wrong. People have been taught and trained and all of that. But I think the bottom line is, unless a person truly understands it, as opposed to just being told what this is about and that a woman is as capable as a man to do these things, unless they truly believe this, this is where we're going to end up. I mean, as long as people have those thoughts in their head, I guess it's going to come out. Yeah, exactly. I know Jordan. I know who she is. She's a terrific reporter. She's a hard worker. She has every right to ask any question she wants. And I give her a lot of credit, too, for tracking Cam Newton down after the fact and asking for some clarification, because that took some courage. And I'm proud of her, and yeah. I think that was really important that she did that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, there is a major difference between asking questions and questioning someone. If you're questioning someone, then, of course, then all of a sudden the contentious side does come out. She was asking questions, good questions.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, and look, our job is to ask questions, right? And sometimes it does get contentious, but that still remains our job as reporters. That's what we're paid to do. And I just think it comes down to professionalism and respect and really appreciating the fact that, you know, when I look at, you know, it's like when you look at a person and you're taught to not see race, you should also be taught in some instances not to see gender. This is a professional reporter asking a professional question, and she has every right to do it.
Yep, absolutely. Now I want to ask about the basketball schedule. You've written about it. You have a lot of contacts with people. Some people say this is the tip of the iceberg. Mike Krzyzewski says no. John Calipari says they should go with the baseball model. What are some of the elements in this that you are hearing?
I mean, so, you know, I think in some regards the tip of the iceberg theory is not out of the question in the fact that if these guys who are named in this federal investigation choose to sing, or if they go and do what people have reported, that Nike computers have been seized, that other things could come out. But I don't think it's going to be this slow drip of names over the next 3 weeks. I mean, this is the FBI we're talking about. They're not just going to float names out there. It's going to be investigated. The charges have to stick. So could there be more? Absolutely. Do I think there's going to be more in the next 2 weeks? I don't know about that. You know, how do you fix it? I have bandied about 1,000 things in my head and with friends and other media members. And I don't think there's one simple thing. I think it has to be a multi-pronged approach, which is why it's so difficult to fix, because it's got to include player, or excuse me, coaches. It's got to include shoe companies. It's got to include agents. It's got to include presidents, athletic directors, and at some level, parents. Because all of the people that I just mentioned are culpable in one way or the other in kids getting paid. And I'm not sure how you get all those people in the same room to agree on anything. That's why I become a cynic.
Right, and same here, because I know when it came out, I had several people say to me, you didn't sound like you were surprised by this. What impressed me, and of course the FBI can do this, is that they exposed the layers of it, and which goes to what your point you just made about there's so much here to fix.
Yeah, I mean, the problems go in so many directions. So you start at the base level. You have a kid playing basketball who's pretty good, and he has parents or hangers-on around him who think that they can profit off of his back. So they make the pitch, and then someone has to take it. And so the coach takes it, and then the shoe company says, well, this is a way for me to, you know, maybe secure this kid in the future. And then that happens. And then sometimes the coach gets caught not by the FBI for doing this, but guess what? 5 years after his show clause expires, he's recycled and rehired by another school, which is where the ADs and the presidents come in. So they just keep recycling these guys and giving them jobs, knowing exactly what they're all about. And head coaches keep hiring assistant coaches who aren't X's and O's guys. They're connected, for whatever that means, right? So you, at some level, know what you're getting. So I agree. I think exposing exactly how the sausage is made should be eye-opening to the general public, and hopefully people inside look within themselves and say, there's a lot that has to be fixed here, so where do we start? But my goodness, if we don't close out every avenue, it's going to continue. We're going to be right back here if we don't find a way to shut off every valve.
It is, it's my opinion, and I'll see whether you agree with this or not, that if you put the four assistant coaches in a room, and if you ask them if they violated NCAA rules, and they're being honest about it, they would say, oh, yeah, we knew we were violating NCAA rules. If you ask them if they thought they were violating the law, my guess would be all four would have said no.
Absolutely. I think that there are a lot of stunned people, you know, thinking like, yeah, worst case scenario, I'm going to get written up by the NCAA. I don't think anybody envisioned anybody looking at time in federal prison. You know, my mind in these situations often goes to the people nobody talks about. Imagine if you're, you know, Lamont Evans' wife, and you put your head on the pillow at night and your husband's a basketball coach, and you wake up the next day and he's facing however many years in a federal prison. And how in the world do you wrap your arms around that? So, you know, hopefully maybe that's what scares people straight, is that this isn't a joke anymore. Now, the ends and the means that the FBI had to go to get this, they're not going to invest this all the time, obviously. So are they going to come up with this all the time? No. But as an assistant coach or a head coach, if you're doing this, it might give you pause to not do it if you think on the off chance that the FBI is wiretapping you.
Exactly, and that's what this comes down to, because it was somebody involved with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and he said, you know, I might have something else, because he's trying to reduce his sentence, which goes back to your original premise, hey, look, if these guys decide to sing, well, that's what this other guy did, is they decided to sing. I've got to ask you about when you the head coaches here and all this, how concerned should a couple of them be along the line because of what's happened here?
Well, I think they should be very concerned because, look, maybe not for federal investigation purposes, but with the NCAA. The NCAA put in place, you know, years ago, you know, that the old defense of I didn't know doesn't count anymore. You know, head coaches are expected to know. There's no more plausible deniability. That's why, you know, before this happened, Rick Pitino was facing a 9-game suspension over the scandal that precipitated this one. That's why Jim Boeheim sat out. That's why Jim Calhoun sat out. So if you're a head coach, and even if your defense is, my assistants did this without my knowledge, you're looking at something from the NCAA, some sort of punishment at the very least. And I think certainly going forward, if I'm a head coach, I am making much smarter decisions about who the assistants I surround myself with, because it seems to me a lot of these guys are making deals with, again, people who are connected as opposed to people that they know. And you are putting your career, your reputation, your legacy, and your salary on the line. Rick Pitino's salary and legacy and reputation are done because of Andre McGee once before and Jordan Fairnow. Was it worth it? I don't think so.
No, it's not. Now, this is not connected with it, but this is an indirect. Should the NBA just say the heck with the 19 years of age in one year and allow players to go direct from high school into the pros anyway, like they used to?
I've said that for 1,000 years because I've always made the argument, if you're a phenomenal ballerina or a phenomenal carpenter, you don't have to go to college. If you have a skill or a talent or a trade, you don't need to go to college. And should you choose not to and you fail because you made a bad decision, that is then on you. I don't see where basketball is any different. I think certainly eliminating the one and done and the kids, these are the kids that are, you know, these are the kids you're dealing with, kids who know they don't have to go to college, don't want to be in college, but are stuck in college for some period of time. So that's a lot of what's going on here, and there's this dogfight to get them for their 6 months of service. The only concern I have is, you know, I think eliminating the one and done for 1,000 reasons is important. The only concern I have about this actually undoing the problem is that just means the next 50 guys become the most coveted people, right? Somebody's still going to be the most coveted person for a college basketball coach. So I'm not sure that that eliminates this problem, but it certainly alleviates a lot of issues for sure, because that's, for the shoe company's purposes, that's where the money is. They're not going to go try to give, you know, the kid that's ranked 75th in the country $150,000, because guess what? His shoe deal is not going to pay that money back, more than likely, unless he's Steph Curry. And you only get a couple Steph Currys in a lifetime. You get the money on the guaranteed guys who are at the top 50.
For the NCAA, this is their cash cow, the tournament, without question. It's not college football. College football is done by the conferences. Yep. So for them, how do they need to, number one, you and I both know they don't have the personnel to go out and investigate this. I mean, so that's number one. The FBI does. The FBI has subpoena power, and they also have the fear of God that they can bring to you when they talk to you. I mean, they've got that part. But for the NCAA, this is their cash cow. They don't want to sit there and have a tournament where everybody goes, hey, great, we've got Wagner. you know, so how do they need to proceed with this in your opinion?
Well, it depends on if they want to continue to have teeth or not. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Do you want to be what you say that you are? You are the governing body that is about righteousness and evening the playing field and all of those things. If that's the stance that you still continue to want to take, then you've got to put some teeth behind your bite, which they don't currently have. You have to be able to enforce a rule or create a rule that basically says if you're a head coach or an assistant coach that gets hit with, is found to be guilty of a major violation, and they have stipulated what's major versus minor, you are looking at an automatic 10-year lifetime ban, whatever you want to go with. Something that really is going to come home and hit people in the head. They're going to say, okay, I can't anymore. So if that's the only thing that the NCAA can do in terms of really scaring people, because they don't have subpoena power, they can't go and wiretap anybody, and, you know, so they're not going to get to the bottom of this. And they can beg coaches, as they long have, to tell them the truth, but they never do. So the only power that they have is to enforce some version of a penalty that removes a coach's livelihood, and maybe a player too. You know, if you're a player and you're caught involved in this, you can no longer compete in college athletics, period. I don't care if you're 16 or you're 22, your college eligibility is automatically over. It's got to be something black and white like that. But the question is, do they want to go there? You know, it's a membership thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about the NCAA of Mark Emmert and all these people, but at the end of the day, the universities make these decisions. So I don't know if they will actually make that decision.
All right, so now if you and I privately talk to coaches, they will tell us, and I think you'd agree with this, that the AAU system doesn't make them comfortable. But when they publicly talk about it, it's fine. But privately, they really aren't. Did part of this with the FBI expose, at least to the public, the AAU system a little bit?
I think it does to a certain extent. I think people still don't have a clue. I mean, they don't understand how much money these AAU coaches are getting paid in terms of quote-unquote salary and gear and all of that. You know, I think that would be staggering for people to understand just how lucrative it is to get the right team with the right players together and do this. You know, I think that is a big part of the problem. Back in the day, you know, a kid was listening to his high school coach, and the high school coach theoretically knew him for 2, 3, 4 years, had a feeling for who he was, who the family was, and the kid was actually, you know, playing games and sticking home. Now they're flying around the country, playing in the showcase tournament where nobody defends and nobody passes, and there's no winning or losing, doesn't matter, and it's basically individualized. Give me my gear and off I go. There's, you know, it's instant gratification. I think that needs to be taken back. People have, heck, college coaches in 1992, I think it was, proposed that the NCAA take over summer ball, that they sanction only three tournaments and they run them. And the President's Commission said, no, we don't want to do that. So, you know, that's a simple solution. You want to remove the shoe companies, this is the way to do it. But again, you're going to start a war because college basketball needs a shoe company. So it's this just constant quid pro quo. I scratch your back. If you cut me out, then you cut out your money that you're getting your sponsorships and everything else. So I think it comes down to how honest are people when they really say they want to clean it up or they just want to put lip service to it.
Yeah, I noticed, Dana, that Louisville did not send the shoe money back. I noticed they were saying, you know what, we had to severtize here. final question, and I appreciate your time very much. In the people you've had a chance to talk to, have they been cautious in talking with you a bit, or have some been very direct with you?
Well, it depends. Like, you know, one of those things, I had to do a column for Monday, and as I'm thinking about who can I speak to, I'm like, well, I need to speak to people that I know in 6 weeks aren't going to be caught up in all of this. You know what I mean? So their words don't ring hollow. Who's honest? Who can I call? Mike Bray, Notre Dame. Tells you anything you want to know, everything on the record. I talked to Phil Martelli at St. Joe's. I talked to Mark Hugh. I talked to Tom Izzo. You know, you go to the places that you know you can go. The rest of them are like, okay, they want to talk about it and they want to hear about it. And what do you think and what do you know? But I can't go on the record about that because they know. And we know at some level what's going to sound like a bunch of baloney coming out of certain people's mouths. So, you know, I definitely think there's a lot of spin going on right now, and until people are confident that they're safe. I mean, I was, you know, on the last Tuesday when this all broke, there were a lot of schools like neener at Louisville. I'm like, you better be careful. Like, you just better be careful. So yeah. I think people are understandably cautious because they're, but by the grace of God, go I think they're all thinking.
Yeah, I think they are. It is always a pleasure. It's great to have you back on the show again, and the profession's better having the Dana O'Neill writing columns out there again. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, Steve. Appreciate it.
Dana O'Neill, one of the real pros out there. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's a lot of fun on the show to have access to some of the very best people out there. You know, that's why we have Brad Nessler on this week, Teddy Greenstein, Dana O'Neill. That's been one of the fun aspects of the show. We've been able to hook up with and connect with some of the best out there that have connections and insight that will allow you maybe to have more insight as to what's going on. It doesn't have to be a national story, such as the basketball scandal going on right now. Or talking about SEC football with Brad Nessler or Teddy Greenstein with Northwestern. Doing this also means, oh, by the way, Steve Williams is doing Milton football. Let's get his perspective on what's going on with Milton. Kevin Herr is the play-by-play voice of Shikellamy football. Let's get his perspective on the game that some of you may be going to tomorrow night or have an interest in. This is getting Zach Showers on to talk about Selins Grove and getting Greg Wetzel on to talk about Lewisburg. It comes in a wide variety where you try to go to the people that are the experts in their particular field or their particular game that allows you, the listener, to get some really good perspectives from a wide variety of sources. And it doesn't have to be a national story. It can be very local as a game tomorrow night. And, of course, Sean will have all the wrap-up tomorrow on Eagle 107. That show is fabulous. That is a must-listen for a high school football lover.
Very kind of you to say that. Appreciate that. Yeah, week seven already. So, yeah, so you start to think about, you know, how the playoff pictures are going to ramp up. I mean, Lewisburg-Danville, that's got huge ramifications when it comes to the district playoff lineup. And, of course, you can't sleep on Chickenshore either.
No, you can't. And so that's coming up tomorrow. And, of course, we'll have it here on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Penn State football is Saturday noon, the kickoff, 10:30 the airtime. And that will be here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, what's really great with our scoreboard page at WKOK.com, you'll see top of the page links to all the streams to all of our games. So you can bop from game to game, whichever one you're interested in catching.
Exactly. And by the way, that's been a source that on the road I go to.
I know you have. You told me that before. Yes, sir.
Yep. So I always want to see how our local teams are doing. All right, next half hour, we get to our Pick'em segment. My brother, we did take the picture, by the way.
I can't wait to see this.
52 years later. Yeah, we've got a... In fact, I've got them on. Actually, it's on my phone here. I sent it to him this morning. I got to send them to you right now. And the mere fact that I'm even capable of this.
This is great. Game changer. You're getting tech savvy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Dana O'Neill and I just talked about him. Cam Newton. Look, we know Jordan Rodrigue. She's been on this show how many times? She worked here in State College at the Center of the LA Times, did a great job covering Penn State football. Cam Newton, what the heck were you thinking yesterday? Yeah. All right. Okay, now I look at the call screen, and it always tells me who the next caller is. And you are labeled on here as the king.
Sometimes I put Kevo on there. Sometimes I throw King on there.
Oh.
I typed King today. Well, since he's still leading.
I know he's leading. Yeah, the King. Did you have a good time at the game?
I had a wonderful time with my wife at the game. Yes, we did.
Good.
And I appreciate everything you did. It was fun. And you were on your game. You know that picture, Sean? We had to have a pennant for it. And
we did.
If there was 107,000 people in the stadium, 100,000 of them were in the student bookstore. We had to have the pennant for the picture. And I'm looking around like, you got to be friggin' kidding me, man. So, man, they're the only ones who had a pennant. All the outside places didn't have a pennant. So, the game will be over by the time we get through the line. So Steve waves his magic, and I go get the pennant, and the woman let us just, well, I asked her if we could just borrow it and bring it back, but that didn't go over too well. So I gave her my $20, and we got out of there. So we cut right to the front of the line. We got out of there quick. It'd be some angry people.
Well.
Boy,
I know who they're angry at now.
Cat's out of the bag.
It's not you.
Well, I'm too far away.
He's free and clear.
Yeah, he's free and clear. I still have to go back there.
To make you wait in line.
for days and days.
Hey, you had a show to do.
Right, exactly. I didn't bring that up. They seem to be aware of that. So
said pennant is the picture that you sent me this morning, that you texted me this morning, that's now the new addition to the Man Cave in Studio 305.
Yes, that is the pennant.
The pennant.
The pennant with our names from our seats. We had our own seats in a VIP suite. We had hot dogs, cookies. Unbelievable.
What else do you need in a suite? Come on.
Yeah, we had everything we wanted. It was great. So we almost didn't make it home, but I mean, my wife and I are like Abbott and Costello, you know. We're loading the car at 5:30 in the morning or whatever it was, and we get everything in the car, and she closes the door, and my backpack's in the house, and the house is locked. I'm like, oh, jeez. Okay. Cold case. I'm not telling you how I got in your house, but I got in.
Well, I know. I know how you got in.
Yeah. Well, fix that. So, we're all set now. No, I love you, honey. I love you, too. We're off. We go to get in the car. It's the first frost of the year. So, okay, where's the scraper? In the trunk, unload the car. Get the scraper, scrape the car. I love you, honey. Off we go. Got to go to Sheetz, get our coffee. I love the store Sheetz. It's just, you know, it's an upgraded 7-Eleven, but it's way upgraded.
Hey, MTO, three letters that go great together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we pull in, I throw the car in park, and it dawns on me, where's my wallet?
Right.
Now I regress back to the day before at the game when I took my wallet and put it under the seat in Steve's van. I put my money in my pocket. What are the chances Steve's van is unlocked? So, drive 5 miles back to the house, van locked. Oh, man.
Yeah, see, but, you know, I do something once in a while.
Yeah, you did it right. So, but Christopher was up. So, Christopher, we're looking for the keys. Well, that woke Steve up. You haven't seen hair like this ever. You got to see this. I said, what's that thing in your head, man? What's going on? He's 6 feet tall, but that morning he was 6'4". Sticking straight up. I said, knock it down. He tried to knock it down. It popped straight back up again.
I can relate. I get a bad case of headphone hair.
I
got the headphones, and then I have to wear the phone buds. So when I get a chance to talk to the callers, so yeah, when it gets to be about a month after my haircut, yeah, it gets out of hand.
This was a sight for sore eyes, man. It was cool.
Then I get in the car and look in the mirror, and it's like, oh, the girls in my office saw me with this pathetic hair.
It's like having your zipper down.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a blast. But the picture we need a retake. I look like a fat guy with a black dress on. That's not good. So we'll retake it next game.
All right. Whatever you want.
We got the pennant.
You just have to remember to bring it.
Yeah, bring it.
You see, my shorts are down to my ankles. That's awful. I'm working on that.
Looks like Michigan basketball.
Yeah, you look like a basketball player. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not good.
But it is a great picture.
Yeah, it's okay. We can use it. I just, you know, next year at this time, at the pace I'm on, man, look out. Be lean and mean.
I just need a picture of the original one from 52 years ago, and then we'll have a before and after, and we'll post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
I know you will. We'll get her taken care of.
That one's cool.
Yeah.
So, who would know? Anyway, we're yucking it up with a tough week for America. So,
yep.
Anyway,
we'll do picks like we always do.
Hey, all three of us last week, 4-2. Kevo, you cleared the board. The NFL picks, you went 3-0.
Yeah, I did lousy in the college.
That's why I said for the NFL picks, you went 3-0. You clear. I kept that part hidden.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, my God, what am I thinking of? Anyway.
So anyway.
I let you guys back in the game.
Well,
at the game.
Yeah,
so.
But we couldn't catch up with you yesterday or last week. We couldn't gain any ground. So, but after 4 weeks, 19-10 is Kevin's record. I am 17-12, and the host of this shindig is 16-13.
And as each week goes along, there are a lot of people wanting to remove this name from the show and turn it over to the people that know what they're talking about.
Now, you beat us all in basketball, so.
Oh, well.
You did get your butt kicked in football, but that's okay. You know, you're busy.
True. I'm busy all the time.
Yeah.
All right.
I better shut up because I'm not doing very good. So.
Okay, we'll see how you do here. All right, we got our six-pack of games, three college, three pro. Be one of the bigger ones for the weekend. We go out to the Big 12. West Virginia at TCU.
Who's first?
The leader.
All right.
King.
Two of the best. I can't get out of my own way, trust me. Two of the best offenses in the country. They're both averaging 230 yards plus rushing on the ground. But TCU's got a much better defense. West Virginia defense cannot stop the run. TCU at home, I got TCU.
Yeah, that number, West Virginia defense against the run, 115th.
Yeah.
TCU. Me too.
In a league almost totally devoid of defense, there is TCU. I will go TCU.
All right. Got the Battle of Michigan. Michigan State at the Wolverines. Wolverines on upset. Maybe an upset alert this week, you think?
No.
I got Michigan State, their first game on the road this year, and that's not a good spot for them to play for their first game. They're both good teams, but Michigan's just stronger in every category down the line. Not a lot stronger, but stronger. Michigan's a good football team. I got Michigan.
Yep, me too, Michigan.
Only the fourth night game in the history of Michigan Stadium. Only four.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize that. Now, you'll get some late game, 3:30 games there and so forth, but only the fourth night game. Michigan's defense. No, they do not. They had to bring in portable lights from Musco Lighting.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
And Michigan's defense is superior. I'm going to be interested to see how John O'Korn plays at quarterback. I think he'll play pretty well, and I think Michigan won the game by 10 points, 2 touchdowns.
And we go out west, Washington State at the Ducks.
Washington State's another team that has not played on the road this year. They're 5-0. But Oregon has a major league problem. They're on their third-string quarterback. Their running back is injured. Freeman, he may not play. I think it's a tough spot for Oregon, even though they're tough to beat at home. Washington State's got a prolific offense. I got Washington State.
Mike Leach, he is just great for a soundbite every single week. What does he say after the game last Friday night? This is like Woodstock, but everyone's got their clothes on or something.
Only he could do that.
Yeah. So I think this is the year for Wazoo. Yeah, go Cougs.
I was on his show on SiriusXM as a guest, and he starts telling me the story about being hooked up on the sideline. You know, you see all the coaches hooked up on the sideline, and he's got, you know, the headset on, the whole thing. Now, of course, everything's wireless now. Well, it wasn't wireless back then, so you're wired in. And he talked about running down the sideline and getting to the 15-yard line as a running back was making a long run, and all of a sudden, boom, got pulled back and onto the ground because of the wires got him. So he's a funny guy.
Didn't he get fired wherever he was for bullying players or something?
Yeah.
Well, he's a good football coach.
Yeah, it's a good offensive coach, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, so who you got?
Oh, I have Washington State.
Okay, well.
All right, so we're all the same on the college game.
All same so far. Now things will be different.
Yes.
I like that.
All right, now let's hit the pros for Sunday. Carolina and the Detroit Lions.
It's hard to judge how good Carolina is because the New England Patriots' defense is absolutely pitiful. And they made Cam Newton look real good, better than he is right now because he's hurt. I like Detroit at home.
I also have Detroit.
Yeah, I have Detroit as well. This isn't going well. We need to. I may start picking the other way
really
deliberately.
Good for me. I like this. Just keep it like this every week. I get pickles.
Yeah. There you go.
Pickles for you. Corey appreciates that. All right, we'll stay in the NFC. Green Bay at the Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys are favored in this game, but I think between Dallas's struggles on the field and off the field, and Aaron Rodgers' quest to win a second Super Bowl, I think Aaron Rodgers is playing the best he's ever played. I'm taking Green Bay on the road. Dad loved Green Bay. Remember that?
Yeah, he sure did. He did.
I got Green Bay on the road.
All right. Well, I can't go against Papa Jones. Green Bay.
Look, somebody's going to go the other way somewhere. Look, I want Green Bay to win desperately, and I'll be rooting for Green Bay, but for the sake of the show and to keep me in last place, I'll go with Dallas.
Oh, no.
I love it. Good.
Not against the Giants, but you'll take them against the Pack. Look at you.
No, but look, we've all picked the same so far, so I mean, I got to pick up something different here.
Yeah.
For Jack Hibb.
Hey, he carries me.
No, he doesn't. No, I'm only joking.
But when
you're taking a bold move, and I admire that.
So. But when he came back up from the south end of the end zone, did he bring up what you asked for?
I haven't told this story.
It is great.
He goes to leave the booth to go downstairs to be honored at the end of the first quarter. So he's got to leave with about 3-4 minutes to go in the quarter. So we go to a commercial break. I looked up. He said, "Hey," I said, "you're going downstairs, right?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "Could you bring some stuff back?" I said, "We have a list."
I said to Steve, "You said to Jack, can you bring me back up a chicken basket?"
Can you imagine him waiting in line?
And I, you know, and he looks at me. He says, "Only you would say that." I said, "Yeah."
That's funny.
All right, one more to go. Kansas City at the Houston Texans.
The Chiefs are the one team so far in the NFL that can control the ball by running and passing and have the big play tight end. They're very good. Yeah, Watson. He's good, but now there's tape on him. And Kansas City's defense, very good. I got the Chiefs on the road.
I'm going Houston. I don't care what you say, Sean. I'm going Houston.
I'm going Houston, too. I got to go against him sometime, so I'll go Houston, too.
Hey, you know what? At some point, the string's got to end. The Watson kid's playing great. Kansas City survived at home. They're on the road. There we go. That sounds really, really impressive analysis.
We do what we do.
Look, I'm saving it all for Saturday. All right, I'm saving it all for Saturday, all right?
It's like what I said to Kevin last hour. Save some for tomorrow night, man. It's like don't empty out the candy dish in one shot.
What do we got? Tampa Bay and New England tonight. We got NC State and Louisville tonight, so that's tonight's games.
What do you think of baseball? Who's going to win the World Series?
You know, the irony is that you saw the Dodgers take a dip, you know, from September 1st on, right?
Yep.
And you saw Houston take a dip from September 1st on. Well, there were two teams in the final 10 games of the season that went 8-2. Houston and the Dodgers.
Yep.
By the way, Astros lead it 2-1 bottom of the second.
Good. What do you think Farrell's chances of keeping his job if the Red Sox don't get out of there?
I think the Red Sox are a good team, not a great team. He should keep his job because I think you have to do a good job as a manager when you have good, not great.
I think Detroit, who's the president,
Dombrowski.
General manager?
Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, I think he's going to grab his guy from Detroit.
Brad Ausmus? I don't see anything special there.
And the only reason I say that, you know how tough Boston is, and they feel like they gave him a team to win with. And
here's the part where I don't feel like he gave them a team to win with. I think that between Pomerantz, Sale, and Price going into the season, and Porcello, you gave him a starting rotation to work with, and Kimbrel with a great closer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things happen. We know that. Obviously, Price got hurt. Porcello was lousy. Whatever. But the one area they did not address was when they lost David Ortiz, they lost a major power source in the lineup. I thought at the end of last season, knowing that Ortiz was going to go, that they were going to sign Luis Encarnacion. Well, Encarnacion didn't sign with the Red Sox. He signed with Cleveland, and he had a 36 home run year.
And
that's what they're missing.
The World Series.
That's they're missing. That's what they're missing.
Yeah.
That's just me.
They felt that they had enough pop with
Hanley Ramirez,
Betts, and the shortstop, and
Bogarts.
Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah.
And they did not come through. So
right.
Especially Betts. Betts, even though he had a decent year, they expected a super duper year.
Right. They expected him to hit 300, hit 30 home runs. Well, he didn't hit 30 home runs. He had 269. And by the way, had a really good year, but the expectations were higher.
Yeah. But again, they miscalculated. I said that the first month of the season. They did never replace David Ortiz, and they felt in the lineup, up and down the lineup, because he protected those guys. Those guys got pitches last year that they didn't see this year because Ortiz isn't there.
I think the Yankees have three, maybe four better power guys in their lineup than the Red Sox do in their entire lineup.
I think the Yankees are going to advance, but no one's going to get past Cleveland. Cleveland's too good. So, and good for Cleveland. I hope Cleveland wins a World Series. That would be great.
I do too. And I hope they do. One of the reasons why I think, because I've been friends with Tom Hamilton for years, the Indians play-by-play guy. I'd love to see him have that chance.
Close last year. But
very
Terry Francona is a great manager.
Yes, he is.
Yep. He will go down as one of the greatest.
No, Kev, I'd asked Steve this not too long ago. I'd said if Francona wins this World Series, does this automatically get him in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. I think so. That's three World Series he would have won.
Well, not only that, it would have been two with franchises that went so long in between.
Yep.
It's hard because managers, the road for managers into the Hall of Fame is not easy, for whatever reason.
I think, you're right. There's no question. But what you just said is true. He's taken franchises. He has not lost. Now, I'm not familiar with how good he was. Where did he come from? The Phillies?
The Phillies didn't do well when he managed them. But, I mean, that happens with everybody. I mean, as I always tell everybody, like, look at Belichick right now. Belichick is considered a great coach. Some say the greatest coach of all time. And, of course, his area of expertise is defense. Well, the Patriots' defense is one of the worst in the league right now. That's his area of expertise. You'd be amazed what talent means.
I'll argue this with anybody. Take Tom Brady off the Patriots. Bill Belichick doesn't win all those Super Bowls at all. His defense has not carried the Patriots ever. It's been Tom Brady. I think sometimes they've won despite of Bill Belichick. And You could get in a good argument with a lot of people, but he gets a lot of credit when this guy comes on the field with, you know, a minute, 20 seconds left in the game, and he carries them right down the field, and they win the game, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Well, the two constants in the 18 years have been Belichick and Brady.
Right.
Okay.
But
no,
take,
I mean,
would
one
they,
has helped,
would they
one
have
has
won
helped the other.
Without Belichick, if they still had Brady?
My guess is they would not have won five.
I think they would have won with Brady, and another head coach could have taken them to a Super Bowl because they had Tom Brady.
Right. So. I think that Brady would not have won as many without Belichick. Belichick would not have won as many without Brady.
That's true.
They each would have won, but not to the level that they have won.
Where Belichick is genius is next man up. He's always got somebody to plug in there because of his scheme. He'll get the defense straightened out this year. Their offense is fantastic. But they do miss Edelman.
Well, there we go. That wraps it up for the show today. For Sean and the King.
King.
I'm the person in last place whose name is on the show, at least for the moment.
We'll either stay one up or two back. Wait and see.
There we go.
I have to take all these chances to get back in it.
Can't win if you don't play.
Sound like a lottery commercial.
That's right.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.